Yes, you are in ministry. You are very zealous. You are up and about. You lead the prayer meeting. You are there doing the naming ceremonies. You are there visiting everybody. Why? Because the people love their pastor and they want his presence. But an experienced man, an older man, a priest also, said to him, "The thing that you are doing is not good." Tell your neighbor, it's not good. That one man riot squad is not good. Are you getting my point? One man can do everything all by himself is not good. He said to him, "The thing you are doing is not good." Verse 18, you will surely wear out. Oh. You will surely what? Both yourself and these people who are with you. For the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. Hey, you know? There are churches that need to read this one. There are churches that think only them can evangelize the world and put a church on every street. The Bible says you cannot do it alone. Oh, I hope you are getting my point. Churches, you learn some things. When Peter, James, and Co. in Jerusalem heard what God was doing through Moses, Paul, he came, they talked, they blessed him and said, "You go in that direction while we go in this direction." One man cannot do it alone. In case you have never heard it, let me say it. The first time somebody heard it, it sounded blasphemous. The time Paul, finally died when he was put in prison, it was because he would not leave the preaching to the Jews alone. Go and think about it. Paul never had any, go and read his ministry very well. He never had any serious problem unless Jews were present. Go and read it well. Yet, he never had any breakthrough amongst them. Go and read it again. They gave him all the problems and none of the results. When Brother Paul wouldn't hear was when God put him in prison. From prison, he wrote letters. Plenty letters that you and I are reading till today. The one to Timothy, that was from where he wrote it. That was from where he wrote it. Listen. You know, go and listen to the message I titled, "The Cure for Zeal." In your life, even as a businessman, it's not every business that requires your participation. I heard recently, Dangote sold off is it Tiger Foods or which foods now? To one Chinese company anyway, is selling off Dangote flour and I think Dangote sugar. He will retain a huge chunk of the company, maybe be a member of the board, but as for running the day to day, say, "I'm leaving. Let me go and focus on cement." The cement is making him the richest black man in the world. You've not been reading business news. That was just a few weeks ago. Sold off the whole, I think, Dangote sugar and flour, all of those. Look. You guys go that direction. Sold to a Chinese company for some good billions, you know? And say, "Let me sit down and man this cement business." That one is making me, I'm adding words now, the richest black man on the surface of the earth. The thing you are doing is not good. You alone sit as judge. Verse 19 says, "Now listen to me, I shall give you counsel, and God be with you. You be the people's representative before God, and you bring the disputes to God." This was a priest talking, teaching this man the priestly function. Now, this is what you will do in the direction of the people. Teach them the statutes and the laws, and make known to them the way in which they are to walk, and the work they are to do. Furthermore, They shall select out of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate the dishonest gain, who were dishonest gain, and you shall place over them as leaders of hundreds, of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And let them judge the people at all the times. And let it be that every major dispute they will bring to you. But every minor dispute they themselves will judge. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. The Bible says in verse 24. No, verse 23 says, if you do this thing and God so commands you, that is, go and get approval from God, then you'll be able to endure. Everybody say endure. He said you'll be able to stand, literally. And all these people also will go to their place in peace. So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Let's just leave it there. Now, this is important. You know, the first day we started talking about the survival and death of Moses, I explained the principle. That in life, everybody has a dose of energy. God gives you a dose of energy. You can amplify it. And the way by which you amplify it, actually, this is how it is. Let me just say it like this. That dose of energy that God has given the believer. Now, I'm talking to Christians. If you're a Muslim, you're an unbeliever, you're a religious person, you're listening to this, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to who? Christians. This is how the life of Christians are. God has given you a dose of strength. That strength is meant for only one thing, not two things. It's meant to pursue the knowledge of God. I'll summarize it like that. When you pursue the knowledge of God, and God reveals himself to you and in you, that revelation of God will play itself out in your life so that you will get results, and that result is called by grace. So Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace, which is his power working towards me, did not prove vain, in that it manifested itself in labor, which appeared as if I was able to labor more than everybody else, but it was not me, it was the grace of God working with me. That is, the energy that God gave you, it was not meant to get results. It was meant for the discovery of the face of God. The rest happens automatically. Listen, no, well, listen to Derek, I was referring to Derek Prince the other day. Derek Prince said he had no ambition in life. The only ambition he had was that he must know God. He must be pleasing to God. And then he began to see the future unfold one step after another. That is, things begin to happen. All they are just asking you to do is cooperate with what is happening. Are you getting the point I'm making? Are you getting the point I'm making? Just came to my mind to use as a very good illustration. I've told the story 10,000 times, but hear it one more time. I was born in Owo in Ondo State, schooled in Ondo State, the University of Benin, youth service in Taraba State, postgraduate, all right, residency program in Lagos. Came to Enugu only once in my life, around 1988-89, for a medical student, Christian Medical Students Conference in UNEC. First time ever came to Enugu in my life, and the last time until the day I came to pick up my appointment letter to start working in the university as a lecturer and a hospital consultant. I did not beg for the job. This interesting part, I was not even sure I wanted it. I don't want to go into that in details again. I just knew, don't ask me how I knew, maybe let me use the word I suspected, that ministry would pick up from where God takes me to after I finished my residency program, which I was not even sure I'll finish. When I started there, I told everybody, I'm just here waiting for what next God will have me do. But after a while, I realized that you will stay here and finish this program. So when I finished it, I said, okay, where do we go next? And something came to my mind, that wherever I'm going next is where ministry is going to take off from. I had never prayed about coming to Enugu until somebody came. Many of you know him. Venerable Professor Sam Ike, the vicar of the church. He was the one that came to me and said, why don't you come to Enugu? I had known him before then when he used to come for his exams. He used to stay in my place. So another of my friends said, look, Banky, Enugu is a plane. You have told the story here and there before. That was the first time. And I got a call one day. I said, please send me either a call or an email. No, I wasn't doing email that time. This was before Nigeria began to do email. I got a message anyway, a written note or something from the head, well, a friend to the other, Ike. His name is also Ike. He said, look, it was heading my department at that time. Say, send me your CV. I went to do something in Ibadan to go and see my supervisor for my final project and give somebody there who came from Enugu my CV. Please, let me give so and so person. And one day, I got an appointment letter. I did not pray for God to open the door. I don't know whether you have known what I'm saying in life. I don't know why I told this story. But I think just to cooperate with what the Red Prince said. In life, listen, be careful when you are pushing your head too much into things. What you must spend your energy on every day as a believer is that which reveals to you the knowledge of God. This is very important. I was saying everybody has a dose of energy. If you finish your energy, your life begins to disintegrate. It begins to collapse. You start falling sick. You start walking in iniquity. You start falling die. You understand my point? You can fall sick, then you can fall die. You understand what I'm saying? And that happens when we exert our energies in that which God's grace. Because human energy is very powerful. I hope you understand that. It's very powerful. It's very powerful. A lot of people say that this man is in a cult. That's why he's making money. Listen, cults can make money. That's using devilish energy. But human energy can make money. And it's in the scriptures. So from the sweat of your brow, you eat bread. He didn't say you won't get it. Just need to sweat. I told a story before of Ted Turner, built CNN. But you know how he used to work 18 hours a day? In case you have forgotten, there are only 24 hours in one day. 6 hours for eating, socializing, sleeping, taking a bath, doing everything. 18 hours he's working. That is called the power of human energy. And it made him a billionaire. Are you getting my point? But listen to me. The Bible says it is vain. What does the Bible say? The Bible says it is what? Vain. What the Christian needs is for God to be working on his behalf. It's called grace. Go and read it. Paul labored. Look, when he gets to the Jews, he will argue and argue and argue and argue. And some guys will show up and throw stones at him. All the last few days of argument, nothing. A few people will try to believe here and there. Those ones enter into persecution. But when he gets to Gentile cities, the whole city will stop worshiping one idol and start following the God of Paul. You know, sometimes people tell me that, when I release a new book, they say, how do you do this? I laugh. In fact, let me tell you the truth. The question you should be asking me is, how come you don't do more than this? I don't know whether I get my point. Yes, if it is writing, the question is not, how do you manage? It's how come this is all you are doing? Because I'm being honest with you, if I were to face that thing squarely, I'm not joking. Many books, I'll give you one every week. Sizable books, I'll drop one a month. And it's not any extra energy. It's called grace. Listen, when I'm writing, my brain downloads faster than my fingers can type. The rate limiting factor is for me to sit down and be able to pour this thing. Listen, I type, type the thing straight. If it's what to write, if you give me time the next 2 years, I can't finish writing what I have to write as I'm talking to you now. Look, the prayer I pray every day is for God to help me focus. That's it. That's the prayer I pray every day. That is the prayer I pray, that he should help me remove distractions. It's called grace. That one is not an effort. It is not an effort. It's not an effort. It's not like I'm not trying nothing. The only thing I'm trying in is in hindering the flow. I don't know what I get my point. If it's for the flow, I'm not try. Because that flow is called grace. It's a job. I don't know what I get my point. You are created to do it. The thing is up there. It's like, sit down, the tap opens.
There is no day, if I wake up at night, open my Bible, I don't come forth with the revelation. It does not ever happen. Not one day. Give me 1,000 days. I just wake up at night, open the Bible, read it for 30 minutes. There must be a revelation. There must be a revelation. It's not possible. I just wake up at night, 30 minutes. I grab my old, dirty, torn Bible. That one is, in fact, that one seems to have more revelations than any other one. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What's the point I'm making? I'm talking to Christians. God says, the energy I have given you, use it to follow me. As you are following me, you see doors I've opened. You see things I am doing. I will say, I have done this, now begin to do it. That's how God does it. So that when you start talking, I will give myself an example. You start preaching. You know, this morning I got a phone call. Somebody called, sent a text message. I think the person who had my number was listening to our television broadcast for this morning. You understand? And the house is so changed his life. He's so blessed. You get message, things here and there. I didn't go out of my way to bless anybody. I don't know what I get my point. Paul is just planting. Apollos is just watering. God is the one blessing people everywhere. And that's how it will be in every area that God called you into. Listen, if you're a businessman, the business that will make you a trillionaire, you understand, has been laid out. If you discover God, you will discover it. When the world leads you in their own direction, get this degree, get another one, this will help you get this job. You start skimming, making calls, running up and down. Then suddenly you start wearing yourself out because now you are running with your own energy. What am I saying? That is what finishes Christians. That is why they don't make it in life. That's it. Now listen, let's continue to talk, looking at Moses. Moses would have died earlier than he did if his father-in-law did not visit him in this chapter 18. God would have had to remove Moses much earlier if this man did not visit him. What was going to wear him out is too much activities. Too many activities. Maybe because I'm a preacher. And let me say it again. It applies to businessmen. It applies to everybody. I just want to get practical, in this particular area. You know, Jesus said something. The harvest is plentiful. What is the problem? They are what? They are few. So what was the prayer point God commanded? He said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest field. Let me talk to preachers, all right? If you are listening to you, a preacher, listen. If you are going into ministry, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest field. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send financial laborers into the harvest field. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send technical laborers into the harvest field. Pray, it's a commandment to ask. You know, I told you before, because God instructed you and commissioned you does not guarantee that you won't die. You know, I said it before. And these are the things that will kill you. The greatest of jokes in ministry. Those of you in ministry, listen to this. If you are listening to this and you are planning to be a preacher, you're already a preacher, hear me. It is a fat joke for you to have the mindset that you will do business on the side and use the proceeds from the business to sponsor the ministry. You will not live long. Why? Because it is not good. Tell your neighbor, it's not good. That's the only reason. I like what Mike Murdock said. He said, do you know why if I take your hand, bend it, and try to touch the back of your head with it, it will pain you? You say, why? He said, because it's not supposed to be there. He said, that's the reason you don't park your car in your garage. In your kitchen. That is why you don't sleep in the garage. Why? It is not the right place for you to sleep. You park the car in the garage, you cook in the kitchen, and you sleep in the bedroom. In the same manner, please go and read my book, So We Pay for This. That's why I wrote the book. That's why I wrote the book. People will understand. A man wants to sit down and the one that annoys me the most. It doesn't happen in the kingdom because people, of course, they hear you and the spirit spreads around. A man goes to church. Please tell this everywhere you go.
Listen, you know, the church has bought microphone. The church has bought speakers, rented a hall or built a building, paying the preacher or not paying the preacher. Whatever it is, then the church gives him the word free of charge. Then afterwards he comes and says, please, I need money to go back home. Don't give him, beat him. It's wickedness. You want to beg, stay on the road and stand there and beg. Allah Bamusa, please, it's true, it is wrong to enter that place. They've spent money trying to give the word free. I told you a story, I think, in that book. The soul will pay for this. A young man came once from Abakiliki to come and see me. Sunday morning, what is the problem? He said, he has financial problems. I said, look at me. I look like I don't have financial problems, Abi. And I didn't say it like that. The way I said in the book was exactly what I said. I said, you have financial problems. Where did we meet? He said, listen to me on radio. I said, good. Listen to me on radio. In all the things I said on radio, in which one? Did you hear me say, please, anybody listening to this who has financial problems, should please come to Enugu and see me? The guy looked at me and said, this kind of wicked pastor is this one. I looked at him and said, listen, my friend. I was frank with him. I said, listen, you went to secondary school, said yes, there's what is called division of labor. That word that we preach to you, we have paid for it. That time it was costing us 15,000 naira each broadcast. My men and I will gather here and preach. Package it in Kaido, and it came to your house free of charge. We have not asked you for a dime. Other ministers will approach you on air, send us money, we need money to continue. We have not even asked you. Then you traveled down, you didn't bring me a pineapple. You didn't bring me mangoes. I mean, you're coming from a village. These are things that you can find there. Then you tell me about your financial problems. By the time I'm through with you, that will be the smallest of your problems. I didn't tell him that one, no. That's what I thought. By the time I finish beating you, you have health problems. Join with your financial problems. That's what I mean. But of course, not literally like that, you know. But I don't say, oh boy, listen. I told him simply, it is not fair. I told him straight, oh, what you are doing is not fair. A lot of people don't realize it. They want a man of God to die on time. I have friends, they tell me that in their church, they'll be gathering money to help people go back home. I said, you are spoiling people. I said, there are things I won't do. God is my witness, I will not do it. You come to my church trek, you trek back home. Next time, you won't come back if you don't know how to go back home. Tunde Bakari said that they'll come and say, how did you? He said, please, I need money to go back home. He said, how did you come? He said, I trek. But I start trekking on time so I can get back on time. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Listen. Those who hear me say this, they're like, Pastor Mike, what do you mean? Listen, that I'm just trying to explain that some things are not good. Let me just put the other side so you understand. When I want to do good work, it is my business. Are you getting my point? I'm just saying, when you see a preacher, please, don't wear him out. I've gone to a church to preach before. I finished preaching. Some girls came after me. Good afternoon, sir. He said, they are raising money to buy a uniform. I want you to beat them. Their pastor was standing. I looked at, shame on you, pastor. Shame on you. I'm a guest minister. I just preached for like 2 hours this Sunday morning. And the only thing these girls from your church can do is come and beg me for money for one stupid rag they want to wear to go and dance. I have not been given a glass of water. You haven't given me so, God, please quench your thirst. Then you want my money because he introduced me as a doctor. This is why you will be poor. This is where poverty starts from. A man just finished blessing you with the word of God. The only thing you can do is to beg him for money. You are a devil. You're wicked. What should you do? Give me a glass of water. That's what you should do. If I bless you, give me something to drink. That's what you should do. I mean, writing ministries. Please, I need school fees. You don't have to go to school. Stay at home. I tell people, when people write me, I say, free Bible. I say, we are not Gideon's International. There are people that their job is free Bibles. Go and meet them. All these local government councillors and chairmen, your environment, go and beg them for money. They come to church. After they've spent money, you know, a lot of people just assume that they get money now. Now I make them, they pay for radio. Let's go and collect our portion. You know, these pastors, they have money. One day, man, somebody, listen, this is a joke, all right? But just a good example. There are things I just don't do. If you meet me and say, oh, good afternoon, sir, please.
Can you just give me money? I won't think about it. But if you call me Pastor Banky, good afternoon, sir, you won't get a dime. If you come and say, oh, boy, half an hour, your guy is hungry, I'll give you money. But once you put the title pastor, God needs to speak to me. If you come and say, dog, I have a work now. Nah, I beg your guy, they're hungry. Anything for the boys. I'll give you money. I'm serious. But once you come back, good afternoon, sir. This word has been such a tremendous blessing. My own hand is out. It has been a tremendous blessing. Where's my offering? It's spiritual. It's scriptural. I was one in one filling station. One guy said, pastor, they healed me. I went to buy fuel. And I said, oh, pastor, made them put on my own. My man, if they put in your own, you, the machine, everything will catch fire. So just... just shut your mouth now. Because if I tell them to put now fire... Why? Jethro said it is not good. Now, I'm not saying pastors don't do charity work. I didn't say so. Please, I hope you're getting what I'm saying in perspective. I am saying it is wrong for people to add to their job. Moses, Jethro had to explain to him, settle down and focus on the thing that is your job. I was saying something about being practical. One of the things you must learn in everything, like I said, number one, pray the Lord of the harvest. When Kingdom was started, I used to do a lot of editing. My wife literally used to pray for me that, God, please, so. This is editing. Because you come to my house, I'm always in the study. Then we add a television broadcast to it. Oh boy. I learned how to use Adobe Premiere Pro. Look, by the time Chinedu and Israel began to do editing for me, after a while, I said to them, do it any way you like, whether it's bad or good. That's how we are using it. And that's what I'm talking about. You have to just learn to trust people. Pray for them, and even if it's bad, look, once you train people at a particular level, just leave it. You're not Mr. Know-All. Yeah. I called Israel a few days ago. I said, Israel, I hope you remember that. Because you know, sometimes if you think a guy will look at it, you'll do it anyhow. I said, I hope you remember that I don't cross-check this thing. Once you give it back to me, for me to package, the way you give it to me is the way I'm doing it too. So if it is bad, that's it. From South Africa, they will be hearing all the bad things. From Australia, they will be hearing all the bad things. He said, yes, he remembers. I said, very good. Because Jethro explained. I'm not saying it is easy. You just have to make up your mind that that's what you will do. Jethro explained, make men rulers of thousands, of hundreds, of tens. You understand? Then teach them the law. Your primary duty, therefore, is to do what? To teach. Let me tell you something. If you're a businessman, whatever you are, whether you're a school owner, you're a businessman, you're a ministry, you're the leader of a ministry, pastor of a church, your primary assignment is not to do all the work. Some people go to some church and say, pastor, their pastor is very humble. He helps them carry chair when they are carrying chair. Listen to me. My days of carrying chair has passed. If you are carrying water upstairs, I won't help you. How many of you helped me to preach? It's true. People think that it's not humility. You enter a church, there are few, there are not 10 people. There are 20, 30, 40. Pastor, please don't carry chair. He said, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Listen, how many times? Once. And he had to tell them, look at what I'm doing, because he never done it before. Go and read your Bible well. That's why it was remarkable. Peter said, no, I'm not going to agree. What does it mean? He had never done it. People don't realize it. If not Jesus was waking up every day, say, bring your feet. Oh, my Peter, just now I wash your feet. It was the first time. It was so shocking to Peter. Peter said, no. But Jesus was just trying to make a point. Say, I can do it. I have not been doing it because it's not necessary. Some people think that Jesus was approachable. Fat lie. You think it was easy? Now make Zacchaeus go climb tree. Go and check it. At a point in time, Peter said, hey, what are you looking for? You are sick. James, handle that one. Uh-huh. What's the problem? John, you should be able to cast out this one. It's a small devil. Jesus now had to say, Peter, the little ones, let them come. Did you notice that? Yes. The big ones, share them amongst the rest of you. People make it look as if Jesus, his door was just open. People could just walk in. It's a lie. And it wasn't just because of the crowd. Those 12 used to ensure you couldn't get to him unless you had clearance.
It wasn't big manism. It was to save his life. It was to preserve him from wearing out before the day of crucifixion. That was why he had to tell Peter at the time, let the little ones come to me. Or as for the big ones, please, oh, those people, they are looking for who they will wear out. Oh, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Don't go and learn unnecessary humility that will end your ministry before the time. Everybody has your phone number, can call you anytime because you are very, you know, a pastor that's very reachable. Don't worry. You are also a pastor that's very dieable, wearable. You know what I'm saying? They will soon kill you. I'm telling you. This is not big manism. You understand? It's not I'm too big. It's not I'm too big. That's why Jesus came at the point and washed their feet. If it's necessary, go ahead, please, and do it. I won't say I'm too big to carry water. Nobody's carrying it. I will not leave it, let it spoil. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I will simply walk by and let those who are not doing the preaching go and carry it. There's a division of labor. So your primary duty as a ruler, leader of a business, the pastor of a church, the head of anything, of a home, anything, is to make sure every time, like Jethro said, you are teaching the people the law. Are you getting my point? So in the business, tell them every time what your target is, what your principles are. You come and say, here, customer is first. We want to teach them righteousness. You come every day, you teach them. You talk to your accountants, you can't do accounting. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can't. You talk to your accountants, you talk to your engineers, you talk to your administrators, you talk to your gate men. Your duty is what? Talk. Every day, you are instructing people on what to do. If you don't, the whole thing will collapse. You have to get people, keep people focused on the assignment. This is why this ministry exists. Like I was telling you, if somebody, look, if you ask Israel, ask Inka, and ask people who directly help me, all right? They will come on and say, they want to do this. They say, Pastor, no go agree. That is, talk from now till tomorrow. There are things I want to do. If I go and preach in places, they say, people want to see you, they want to do counseling. There's only one time I have agreed in recent times, and that's because I didn't know how to tell the old man. I didn't know how to tell him, no, sir. I simply tell people, I didn't come here to counsel anybody. I came here to teach. As for counseling, go and meet those who know you, who know your home, who are with you. I don't have time to counsel people. So I'll finish preaching, enter my car, I drive off. Oh, I don't even drive off. Ian car drives off. What am I saying? So you keep on giving people the guide. This is what the ministry is about. This is what the ministry is not about. This is what this business is about. This is what this business is not about. Your staff will come with all kinds of ideas. This is not our idea. We have one friend down the road. This is his idea. Let's sell it to him. Hey, oh boy, come. Some of my people have ideas for you. Take. You understand? You are helping them focus. You keep on teaching them. But allow the gate man to be the gate man. Allow the accountant to do accounting. If you don't think he's good enough, send him for training. Get somebody else. Are you getting my point? But pastor, sir, head of institution, sir, don't become the accountant. You know why? You are going to wear out. You are simply going to wear out. Listen to me. Let me close because I just look at my time now. It's really gone. When eventually the people wore out Moses, that was why he did not enter into the promised land. And let me just tell you something. If you're a parent, discipline your child early, lest he wears you out as an adult. Let me say it again. No? Discipline your child early, lest he or she wears you out as an adult. If you have to be bailing Pekin from police cell, it will affect your ministry. It will affect your business. So right now, start training them now. This business that you will not allow you or your wife to train your children is not of God. Trim it down. You don't have to make all the money in this world. The children are part of your assignment. Otherwise, they will wear you out later in life. There are many men that their children are the things that are killing them. Physically, piercing them with many sorrows. The man is diabetic because his boy is in a cult. The doctor will interpret the sorrow as diabetes. The real problem is that the worry in his soul has crippled his system's ability to balance. Because his son has joined the cult. I know a man, his son paid assassins and they shot him. Oh, I don't mean they injured him. I mean they killed him. Because the boy heard that the father was planning to disinherit him. Teach your children while they are young so you don't have to disinherit them when they are adults and they go and hire assassins to shoot you. So that they don't wear you out. Wear the stubbornness in their hearts out now. You know, it's battle. Tell my children, you can't watch this. And they say, we're not watching it. The other one, he said, we could watch, just finish. So we left the television on. They are trying to wear you out. So I said, no problem. Since that is the way you want it, nobody's watching anything again. Lest something mistakenly stays on. That's it. Somebody has to win the battle. You wear out the stubbornness in them now so that they will not wear you out later in life. Why did Moses die? People wore him out. The people of Israel, they wore him out. He did not go there to disobey God. He went there to speak to the rock. Except as he was approaching. Somebody said, see, he said he wants to give us water. He didn't even carry the rod he was planning to use. And he overheard it. And Aaron, you know, see that brother Aaron said, they be one kind. He said, Aaron, let's just hold the rod just in case, you know, they are talking now. You know, we don't want a riot now. He said, but Aaron, we're not planning to use the rod now. He said, no, I'm not saying, well, you know, but you know, you have never done anything without this rod. And the people know. As we're approaching the rock now, they think we're not planning for anything. It's okay, hold the rod. Now that they approach. And somebody say, he's not holding that rod like somebody who's planning to use it for anything. So next thing here is, let's help him. Strike the rock. When 2 million people are chanting for you. Everybody looked at Aaron and said, strike which rock? Aaron said, listen, I don't want trouble. You know, this is how they got a calf that time. Look, just strike the rock. For they said, but they said, I beg, strike the rock. I said, I don't strike the rock. And of course, was that not Greek or what? Aaron said, it was not hard enough. He went again. Before this embarrassment continues, the Lord just quickly released the water. This is summary. These boys are tired. That's the summary. They are tired. They have been worn out. What's my message today? Don't wear out. I don't know whether I'll continue this next time because my time has late gone. But remember, you must never wear out. I didn't add, maybe we didn't have time to talk about it. Maybe next time, okay, I'll go into that. How to rebuild your strength. Elijah was told, eat, for the journey is long. I must talk about that because it's important. Eat, for the journey is long. Eat. Tell your neighbor, eat. It's important. Before you start anything in life, you must do what? Eat. Listen, if you don't have energy, they take Ubuju stand. Do you hear what I said? If you are tired, you are tired. They can't use Ubuju. You know the Ubuju? No, I refuse to wear out. You cannot wear me out. The person will just blow. You fall down. Because you're already tired. So, one of the things you do to ensure you are not worn out, I've already discussed it briefly. Don't take on what is not your assignment. Learn to pray and ask for help. And learn to trust that God will allow the help you. Are you getting my point? You must learn that. On top of that, you do your duty of teaching the law, keeping everybody in order with words, all right, of your mouth. And please, you must constantly take food into your system. That wilderness does not have to be a single experience. Eat, for the journey is long. Don't wait to get tired. Periodically go back into the wilderness and call the angel, more food, for the journey is long. Tell yourself that you must constantly what? Eat. I'll pick it up from there next time. Tell your neighbor, eat. The journey is long.
Let's bow down our heads and just give the Lord thanks. If you are blessed today, shout a loud amen.
Amen.
Let's just give the Lord thanks.